Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The Texas Supreme Court last week ruled against a group of women who pleaded for an honest and transparent process to allow for medically necessary abortions. In the unanimous ruling, the all-Republican court upheld the Texas abortion law despite clear evidence that it was endangering the lives of women. The court said the law's exceptions are broad enough, and the Republican-held court didn't see the need to provide clear direction on when to perform an abortion when the mother's life is in danger. Catholics for Choice is condemning that ruling, saying the court is choosing to continue the chaos in the Lone Star State, where doctors are uncertain about when they're allowed to provide patients in crisis with a life-saving abortion that they need. We're joined now by the president of Catholics for Choice, Jamie Mason. Jamie, welcome to The Source.
Thank you, David. Good to be here.
Tell me about Catholics for Choice. Some people who don't follow these things might think that's an oxymoron.
Yes, it isn't, because actually 63% of Catholics in the United States think abortion should be legal in all or most cases, and only 8% of Catholics agree with the Church's position that abortion should be banned in all cases. So we actually do represent the majority of Catholics in this country.
Our phone number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. I'd like to get your reaction to this Texas Supreme Court ruling that rejected the idea that when a woman needs a medically necessary abortion to save her life, that she may not be able to get it. So what is your reaction, Jamie, to this ruling from the Supreme Court?
I think it's catastrophic because once again, the lives of women, the suffering of women is not being regarded as important. This case was brought forward by more than 20 women who have been denied medically necessary abortions in Texas. These are life or death scenarios. And people whose lives are threatened by their pregnancies deserve to receive care. And doctors, for that matter, deserve to give their patients the medical treatment they need, free from fear of the risk of retaliation.
See, we could talk about, people who want an abortion because, they don't want to have a child. That's something that they decided, and that's one thing. But, this thing about the state of Texas having on the books, they have it in the law that, abortion should be available if a woman's life is in danger or if it's going to cause, serious bodily harm, that an abortion should be available. But in practice, that is absolutely not happening. It's not available. Not only that, but the Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton, has made it clear that he will prosecute doctors who he thinks are performing these abortions. And so, and they're facing life in prison, huge fines and loss of their medical license. So it seems like the state of Texas, the government, the people in charge, want to have it both ways. They want to say there's an exception, but they don't actually want to provide an exception. When I was following, watched the Texas Republican Party convention that was held in San Antonio, and I monitored what they were talking about, especially on the abortion issue. And when it came up during the platform, discussion, debate, one person brought up, why don't we include something in the platform for women who, life's in danger? And they were quickly shouted down, saying that's in the law, it's already in the law, we don't need that, even though clearly this is not working and we need a real solution. So can you react to all that, Jamie?
Yeah, I think what seems ultimately to be at work here is a bunch of legislators, many of whom are men, many of whom are wealthy, many of whom are white, making it so that women are forced to give birth. And I don't think that can ever be a morally good situation. That's I think, why the confusion. And again, it shows no regard for women's health, women's safety, women's suffering. And what it does is it values the theoretical life that is in that pregnancy over the living, breathing person who is carrying this pregnancy.
The teachings of the Catholic Church, is there anything in the teachings of the Catholic Church from the Pope saying that the life of the child is more valuable than the life of the mother?
They never say that explicitly. They say that the life of in the pregnancy and the life of the person carrying the pregnancy are equal. They make some very, very, very narrow exceptions for receiving abortion care in the case where the mother's life is imperiled. But it's very narrow. It's really if the woman develops uterine cancer and the uterus has to be removed, or if there's an ectopic pregnancy, which of course has zero chance of viability. The church doesn't really consider these other complicated issues. There are many, many reasons why a pregnancy cannot be viable. There are many reasons why a pregnancy can imperil the life of the mother. And they act as if it's not. That's not the case. And in doing so, what they do is they value that theoretical life over the life of the woman who's carrying the pregnancy. There are so many cases where you have women who are carrying a pregnancy and they already have 3 and 4 children, and this pregnancy is threatening to kill them. And what the church would say is you almost have to let things take its course because those lives are equal. They don't consider the fact that this is a mother who has children who depend on them, who has a husband who's depending on her. And so it's almost as if they want it to be left to chance to a certain extent. And again, a total disregard for this woman and for the family at large.
But the idea of Catholics for choice, and you are vocal in saying that this is a bad decision by the Texas Supreme Court ruling against the allowing for medically necessary abortions. But, the Catholicism has been very much a part of the overturning of Roe v. Wade because the majority of the people on the Supreme Court are Catholics.
That is correct, yeah. Every justice who struck down Roe in the Dobbs decision was raised Catholic. And the rest all are currently Catholic. The only exception is Neil Gorsuch, of course, who was raised Catholic, but then later converted to Episcopalianism. So this is not an accident. The man who chose many of these justices, Leonard Leo, is a very right-wing Catholic. He's very, very wealthy. He's head of the Federalist Society, disproportionately powerful over the court, and very not only anti-abortion, but anti-contraception. And so you have this undue influence of right-wing Catholics on the court, and that's problematic for a lot of reasons. One of them is that these Catholics do not believe what the majority of Catholics in the United States believe, which is that abortion should be legal in all or most cases. They haven't reckoned with the reality that 1 in 4 abortion patients in this country identifies as Catholic. So Catholics are not only supporting abortion in the majority, but they're also having abortions at the same rate or even higher rates than the U.S. population.
So are we allowing Catholicism to decide the law in the United States?
Certainly what is happening is theological ideas are getting codified into civil law, and this is a problem. So ideas such as life beginning at conception or ideas of personhood, sort of like what we saw happen in Alabama with the IVF case. Now, the judge who ruled there was not Catholic, but subscribed to a Catholic understanding, of the personhood of an embryo. And so this is problematic for many reasons. One of them is that, our fundamental religious freedom is being violated. When people think of religious freedom, they think it's a freedom to practice one's beliefs. That is true. But it's also the right to be free of the beliefs of others. It's freedom of religion and from religion. And so what we have is we have some very very unpopular, first of all, and pretty marginal, you know, marginal ideas about embryos suddenly becoming the law of the land. You know, these are religious, theological positions of one particular religion suddenly being the law of the land for everyone, Catholic and non-Catholic. And there are religious groups like Jews, for example, for whom life begins at first breath. And so when these bans and exceptions go into effect, the religious freedom of Jews is being taken away. And so there's no regard for that either. And so, yes, there is definitely an undue influence and an overreach of Catholic theological ideas in law, in legislation, and in judicial decisions.
But Catholics are not the majority religion in the United States, even.
That's correct. Yeah, evangelicals are. Catholics are second, I think. And I think those who, if being formally Catholic were a religious denomination, I think that would be third. And so that's how many people have left the church, very often over issues having to do with sexuality and reproductive health. So again, you know, the majority of Catholics don't even agree with these ideas about abortion, and yet they're being codified into civil law and taking away everyone's religious freedom.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue our discussion with Catholics for Choice about abortion, the abortion ruling at the U.S. Supreme Court and at the Texas Supreme Court, ruling against a group of women who wanted to be able to have access to a medically necessary abortion in order to save their own lives. They were forced to go out of state in order to achieve that, which in and of itself presents its own perils. They should have been able to do that at the hospital in their neighborhood and be able to get good care here, but they can't. How does this make sense? Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The Source continues right after this quick break.
Support for TPR comes from Jingu House in the Japanese Tea Garden, featuring Asian cuisine with a San Antonio twist. Open for lunch 7 days a week. View the menu at jinguhousesatx.com.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davis. According to the organization Catholics for Choice, 63% of Catholics think abortion should be legal in all or most cases. We're joined by the president of Catholics for Choice, Jamie Mason. President Biden, he's Catholic, yet he supports abortion choice. Do you count him as one of your own? Is he a Catholic for Choice?
We certainly do. And what we saw from the moment that election was decided was bishops immediately beginning to intimidate him and using the thing that he holds most sacred, the Eucharist, to try to coerce him into compromising his pro-choice Catholic beliefs. The U.S. Bishops Conference tried to put in a new teaching, new guidance that would have allowed priests and bishops to deny communion to him and to any other politician who supports abortion rights. And we saw a real weaponization of our sacrament. And it was a catastrophic situation because I think it was a spiritually violent situation because President Biden, his faith is so, so dear to him and has been such a source of comfort to him in the many, many sufferings and tragedies that he's had to endure. And so that was a particularly ugly episode with the U.S. bishops around abortion.
Sonia Sotomayor on the Supreme Court, she's also Catholic, right?
She is Catholic. She's the only Catholic on the Supreme Court who represents the beliefs of the majority of Catholics in the United States, not only on issues related to abortion and contraception access, but also on same-sex marriage, on women's equality. And, of course, we have the former House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, who her bishop in San Francisco, Salvatore Corleone, actually placed her under what is called interdict, which means that you cannot receive any sacraments within your home diocese. So she has been denied communion in her own home diocese, Archdiocese of San Francisco. And again, she is someone that, like President Biden, goes to Mass weekly. and to see our what I think is our most sacred sacrament, which is the Eucharist, used as a tool for intimidation, really, really says something about the bishops and their values.
San Antonio is a majority Catholic city. Do you want Catholics who are for choice? Do you want them to know that they're not alone?
We absolutely do. We want them to know that they are the majority, not only in terms of their support of abortion, but in terms of people who are choosing abortion. Again, one in four abortion patients in the U.S. identifies as Catholic. That means that women who are participating richly in the life of the church, whether it's through ministries like lecturing or giving out the Eucharist or campus ministries or outreach ministries, you know, to the poor and marginalized, these women are having abortions, and they are having to hear every weekend that they are complicit in homicide. And this is a terrible, terrible spiritual violence that I'm calling on Catholics, especially progressive Catholics, to reckon with and to cry out for justice for these women and these Catholic and Catholic families who have chosen abortion. So there's been a very clear study that 95% of women who received a wanted abortion do not regret their decision 5 years on. That's in the Turnaway study that was published in 2020. And so they have used their conscience, which is very consistent with the Catholic Catechism, that our conscience is supposed to be the final arbiter in all of our individual moral decision making. They have used their conscience, they have made their decisions in good conscience, and they need to be respected for doing so.
Let's go to the phones. We have John as a caller. And John, you're on the air.
Hello. Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'm a physician here in San Antonio, and I haven't understood well how the idea that life begins at conception could even gain traction. I know from basic biology, from, you know, junior high school, that a sperm cell and an egg are both living before conception. So I'm wondering where the idea that life began at conception came from, and how that ever entered the public discourse, and how we might fight that idea just by citing basic science.
John, thank you for that question. Appreciate that. So, Jamie?
Yeah, this is again a theological position that really only became church teaching in the late 19th century. Some people say, oh, this has always been the church's position, but that's not true. Theologians have disagreed about this. Theologians as powerful and as important as St. Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas have disputed that idea.
Because there was but this idea that quickening was when life began.
Right, which was later in gestation. You know, some theologians thought 40 days, some thought 80 days, some thought 6 months. There's always been a lot of disagreement about that. And the church has still never declared officially when a fetus receives a soul. They have not said that. They have said since the late 19th century that life begins at conception. And your caller is right to talk about science, because the reality is once that egg is fertilized and becomes, it's a fertilized zygote, 60% of those fertilized eggs are naturally washed out of the body, like not all of them implant. In order for life to really begin, that fertilized egg has to implant in the lining of the uterus. And the fact is, before that fertilized egg makes it to the uterus, 60% of them are naturally taken out of the body. Now, that, according to the church, is God's natural process. All of this is by God's design. And that's another issue of science the church has not reckoned with. Is that, you know, that clearly calls into question this teaching.
So we've gone over how the Catholic Church has this grip on the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court Catholics are able to impose their will on the rest of the nation, and they've done that with abortion. And the question is, will they do that with contraception? The logic that they have is that when there is the sexual act, that you have to let life proceed, and you can't right. block that. And so they want to ban contraception. Do you see that as the next thing if the trend continues?
Most definitely. And Justice Thomas was very clear. He showed his hand that he thought that those rulings in Griswold should be called back into question, should be reviewed again. One of the other claims that's not scientifically true that the Catholic Church sometimes will make is that the IUD, for example, certain contraceptive pills induce abortion. So are they abortifacient? This is also scientifically untrue. It's a myth that keeps getting pushed, you know, as a claim for why we should ban contraception, because it actually induces abortion. Again, absolutely false, but it creates even more vulnerability for these artificial contraceptives that families use as part of responsible parenthood. They're trying to be good Catholics when they use them. They want to only have as many children as they can afford to feed and educate and care for. And again, it's the idea in Catholicism that you have both a ban on contraception and a ban on abortion suggests that ultimately what the bishops want is forced birth. And that should trouble all of us.
And so calling yourself Catholics for Choice, and there are people probably in the Catholic Church, they wear the funny hats and stuff, those folks, they'll probably say there's no such thing as Catholics for Choice. If you're a Catholic for Choice, you're no Catholic at all. They just say you can't be an a la carte Catholic saying, I'll take some of that, I'll take some of that. Either you're for the whole package or you're not a Catholic at all.
Yeah. What happens too often with the issue of abortion is it gets valued more than any other moral issue. And Pope Francis has been very clear that all issues of morality should be treated equally. But the U.S. bishops have been very clear that abortion should always be treated as the preeminent issue. And so you have these U.S. bishops going rogue with the Pope around this issue. When you talk about funny hats, it reminds me that the only people that wear those hats are men. Celibate men. And so it's so important to remember that all of these teachings, these theological ideas around abortion, around women, around contraception, have all been developed and codified by men who claim to be celibate. And so these are men who don't have wives, who don't have children, who do not have inroads into the, as a result, do not have inroads into the lives of women. And yet they are making decisions and enforcing decisions even in civil society, that are causing profound harm to women.
So in a little time we have left, I do want to bring it back around to the most recent decision by the Texas Supreme Court that ruled that women are not allowed to preserve their own life if they need a medically necessary abortion. I just don't see how that is something that can be maintained. And the fact that they cannot even recognize that this is in and of itself just absolutely just foolish. How are you moving forward with that?
Well, the way we're moving forward right now is state by state, where there are ballots coming up, ballots that would change state constitutions to protect abortion rights. That's where we're focusing right now. We're focusing on Catholic populations in a state like Florida, which has a ballot coming up where you have 22% are Catholic. Many are Hispanic Catholics. So we're focusing our attention on that because we expect, as the U.S. bishops did in Ohio, we expect them to put millions and millions of dollars behind defeating these ballots. They also use their parishes every weekend as an organizer. You know, they are a people mover. They are a mobilizer and organizer. Every weekend in their parish, they're able to put to make people through guilt and shame not support these ballots. But we know for a fact from the victories in Ohio with these ballots or Kansas that these are very, very popular. You know, the majority of people in the U.S., not just Catholics, want abortion to be legal in all or most cases. And so that's not something that you can rig or gerrymander. When you get to ask people what they really believe, they will vote. They vote their conscience and they vote to support abortion rights. And so we can be hopeful someday something like that will come in Texas as well, where people can really, really vote what they believe.
Jamie Manchin is the president of Catholics for Choice. Jamie, thanks so much for coming on board today. I appreciate that.
My pleasure, David. Thank you.
And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.